Hey, what's up, dreamers? It's your boy. It's J-Con. I'm just doing a quick little intro for the episode this week because we are bad podcast hosts, and we realized at no point did anybody introduce anybody, which is never good. So you should know before listening to this that our guest this week is the very funny comedian Derek Graff. He's a good friend of ours, and he's hilarious. And then, of course, you have me, Matt, and Colin. The usuals. All right, please enjoy this episode. Goodbye.
Why do you like High Life so much? That's your go-to, always.
It's just another, like, cheap, shitty, easy-to-drink beer.
I get that.
Easy enough to drink.
Mana. Yeah. Yes.
Got a tall boy for like five something. That's a six pack of tall boys for like five something.
At that 100 proof place?
1,000 Liquors.
Yeah, I don't know why I thought that's what it was. I hate that place.
Yeah, it is kind of it's weird going in there.
It's a. Feels like a soup Nazi for like liquor stores.
It feels like.
1,000 proof or 1,000. Is that what it is? 1,000 proof?
Yeah, because Sheffield's 1,000 block. Or the 1,000 block of.
Yes.
People are always cool. No, the security guy's always like. And it's not even always the same guy, but it's always a dick.
That's like the job requirement.
That's how you get the job.
I mean, yeah, I don't think. Yeah. To be a door guy at a liquor store, it's not like. It doesn't like demand of chipper. Disposition.
I'll just get pushed out of the way by big high schoolers.
Be too scared to call them out for their fake.
So wait, did he card you and the cashier? Or
the cashier, there's a dude, like there's like a security guy there, uh-huh. And he always cards you as soon as you come in, and they do one of those like scanner things. Okay. And like keeps a record of everyone, I guess, that was there.
Oh, so
that
no
day.
One can use your, as like a fake?
Or I
like
guess. I don't know what those things are for. I only ever see him at like shitty liquor stores and shitty bars. Like, because there was, I forget what bar I was at, but they were like, yeah, people keep getting shot here, so we're going to, there's now a record of, like, everyone who was here tonight. I was like, I haven't been back to that place since.
Yeah. It's not great advertising.
It wasn't, like, the coolest bar. I was like, there are other bars.
Sure, yeah.
For
you're not willing to
for
die
how nice
for
this place was.
I got I wasn't to die for.
What you got?
Oh, no, so I got the guy to crack a smile once because I gave him a Costco card on accident instead of my ID.
At 1,000 Liquors?
Yeah, yeah.
And then
the backs kind of look the same.
Fired for smiling.
Yeah, yeah. He's
say,
gone.
Yeah, that seems like the thing he should
they
be
got,
dick
yeah.
about.
They got rid of him real soon.
Yeah.
Well, the guy hangs out by the counter, but when you walk in, he's like, oh, stop. And he's like, and then he's like back, and then he like takes your ideas, like, maybe hang out by the door.
Yeah.
Because people are coming in and out of this
place. Yeah, through the door. Yeah, and then they have that weird, like, you can't leave through the front door policy.
Yeah.
Wait,
yeah.
What?
Yeah. You have to. There's a certain exit you have to go out.
It's like through a trap door, basically. Like it's like literally like it's like a hidden doorway to the exit.
Oh well, now this sounds fun.
Oh yeah, I mean it's a good time.
I don't like it. It's always a dark
I'm just
place.
Always annoyed by the security guy that doesn't hang out by the door but makes you stop at the door. Sure. Like he walks. Like I literally saw him do it like three times while I was waiting in line. He would like walk back to the counter, lean on it, and then walk back over, and then go back. I was like, dude, just fucking
there are also
get
always
a stool.
Guys that it would be, like, maybe 5% of the world wouldn't be able to outrun whoever's at the door.
Yeah.
Like, they're always, like...
They never seem the most athletic.
Biggest guys, yeah. It takes, like, 5 minutes for them to get from the counter to the door. That's why it's such a pain. I don't know.
Did you
maybe
time
it's,
that?
Maybe it's because that...
These fucking liquor stores, yeah. Man.
Maybe it's because that day where started. We found out we were getting hacked by Russia or whatever.
Wait,
you guys got hacked?
That's where we were at when you read that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We were tripping on mushrooms, and I got, like, the message, like, on a... I think it was on Reddit or something where they were like, yo, the FBI just, like, sent out a thing saying that, like, we've been hacked, basically.
They said,
like they were, oh yeah, they were recommending like everyone restart their routers and modems, and it was like,
it.
Yeah, and it just
why does that always fix everything?
Yeah, I was gonna say I don't think that's how that works. That's
that
not
fixes
how
hacking everything
works.
With a computer. Well,
they were saying like if you restart your router or whatever, it would like auto update because they issued they like basically built like a they fixed the bug.
64.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. Just flick it on and off.
You know, but I was on shrooms, so I was like, my God, the world's ending now. That's like my nightmare whenever I've done psychedelics is like, that's the day the world ends.
It's like some shit goes down while you're
fucking. Any other day, I'd have a chance, but like if I'm tripping balls, like I'm going to be in the first wave of death. Like,
oh, see, no, I think I'm going down anyway. I might as well like enjoy it.
Party it up a bit.
Yeah, I have no chance of survival in any apocalyptic.
Yeah, I would say the arrogance on this guy. I have a chance.
Right, No,
I think I would thrive in apocalypse.
on shrooms or acid?
Oh.
Both.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, probably. I'd probably still do
you're
it.
You're saying just in
I'd
an
I'd be
apocalyptic
creative enough
setting.
To build myself a fortress and community.
Well, that's the thing. There is that angle where it's like you could be in like a weird enough headspace that you're thinking differently than everyone else around you. And they're all doing like dumb shit, and you're going the opposite direction.
If I'm tripping, and it comes down to me or another man, I can kill a man with my bare hands.
If you're tripping,
yeah.
What about if you're not?
Both.
Both.
I'm always in the zone, dude. I'm always ready.
See, I'm just afraid I have that side of me where I just turn feral quick and just be like, yeah. I finally have an excuse to kill a man.
Mad Max style. Yeah, that's
just to prepare for the apocalypse. I hunt a man once a year.
Really, most dangerous game.
Yeah, I go study abroad, and then
I bet you could pretty easily go to some third world country and just fucking kill a person and get away with it.
You just get an island,
like
buy an island.
You could do that in this country. There's a lot of unsolved murders. I feel like
for sure.
We
talked
about this before. How in easy Chicago. Do you think it is to get away with a murder?
It's like 30% in Chicago, or maybe 70% go unsolved. 70%.
That is
maybe
disheartening.
This is off the top of my head, and I don't know if that's true.
Well, I mean, it's probably a lot like with GTA, how you, like if you can dodge like the stars like long enough, like the stars just go away. Like I'm sure that happens in real life.
Oh
like,
yeah, I'd say it's exactly like GTA.
Yeah, 100%.
Anytime I think I'm about to do a crime, I'm like, what would happen in GTA?
Yeah, exactly. How many stars is this going to get me?
It's going to be 2 stars at least.
But I mean, you have to be like pretty high profile, because like I'm sure like high profile murders, there's always that like fanboy detective that's like, I'm going to solve that. Like, in
you know,
like
just hitting wide open.
Biggie
Tupac,
hoping for
like
a serial killer.
But if like, see, it's weird to be specific about it. But like, if I just went to some place, some neighborhood, even in Chicago, where I'd literally never been before, I had no connections, and just fucking shot someone and drove off and was never there again, I feel like there's a chance.
You thought of this too much.
Unless there's cameras everywhere.
I was about to say, yeah, you'd have to drive because you couldn't take an Uber, obviously. You couldn't do the train. There's records of where you've been.
But if you have some kind of
dirt bike.
Just a place you have like no connection to, if you just showed up and fucking wasted somebody, you could probably get away with it. It's what? 26% go solved? That is very low.
So
I got a 1 in 4 chance.
They
or 3 in 4 chance. 3 in 4 chance of getting away.
I've been watching
The Wire. Hey, there's 4 of us. How do we?
All right,
say we test this?
We're all going to go kill someone.
All right. Other people live in this building. We could do that.
Yeah, if we get enough on the Patreon.
We don't have to go that far.
That's honestly.
We don't even have to go
that far.
If we get
enough on the Patreon, we'll make Justin kill a homeless guy.
Yeah. And then donate
$13 to the
specific.
Patreon.
It's got
to
be random. Yeah. It's homeless or not homeless.
And then he'll put a chili pepper up his ass.
Who knows if it's a homeless person.
Good luck catching us, pigs.
It's a clue.
See, I've been watching The Wire. What was it, 26%? I could bump that up at least 5%.
If you were a detective?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I could bump that up.
And guess what? I'd be a dirty cop. We'd all get free.
Is that going
to
help murders get solved, though?
Why? Just
cop.
One.
Being a dirty cop?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's not about solving. It's about the conviction.
Yes. Okay.
You don't need to catch the right guy.
You just need to catch a right guy.
Yeah.
This is what you do. You find someone and lock them in a room until they think that they've done it.
Ooh, dude, that's like the Stanford experiment.
I don't think you had to watch The Wire to learn that one, man.
Yeah.
You can interrogate someone for like 10 hours and then they just snap.
Well, I've been watching The Wire so much I can tell that you're wrong.
I spent $40,000 on a degree learning that. So I'd rather watch The Wire, honestly.
Wire's great, man. I'm hooked. Or I could bring down the crime rate and become a criminal. And it would go.
Bring down the crime rate?
What?
Bring it up.
Bring it up.
Bring down the solve.
Oh, because
you're going to be so good. You're going to be a winner.
Be like, we're done. This guy's too
annoying. It would all be me, but they would never know it.
You're just like a winner just trying to pick a side.
See,
yeah,
that's why I want to be a dirty cop, so I can play both
sides. You just like being a double agent of any kind.
Yeah.
Like snake in the grass.
I was, If we were going after the Nazis, I would secretly be a Nazi.
You're trying
the whole
to infiltrate.
Time. Not because of what I believe, just because it's more exciting.
That seems the harder route to go. Yeah.
I'd be like, I'd be like James Bond.
You took
he
the
always,
road less traveled by.
He always
hedging
fucks
your bets.
I mean, I think the hardest person in that would be like a Jew in the camp. Like, that's probably the hardest
save,
route.
I would save the Jews.
Yeah, but I'm not converting.
You're going to try to see a Jew and a Nazi. People.
Yeah, converting itself is kind of a challenge.
I would act like I was bummed out around the other Nazis. But I would save them because I care more. That's just me being a double agent.
Can you draw this out?
Are you
like
suggesting
an
Underground Railroad type situation, but for Nazis?
Are you
That's not
Oscar
what I was thinking,
Schindler?
But you're in. You're in. Right. Once we figure this time travel thing out,
Unger's
we're
List,
do this.
Dude.
Unger's List of things I can do?
I'd watch it.
Follow me.
That list is endless. Yeah. And I'll go back and be like, guys, it got away. It'll all happen. Only in German.
The Underground Railroad.
There it is.
There it is.
That's my fantasy football team next year.
Dude, you're going to get a lot of shit.
I lost this year, so I don't give a fuck.
You lost?
I just didn't make the playoffs.
Oh, shit. Here we go. Unger Games.
It's fucked up, man. Unger Games.
You follow sports, Derek?
Yes.
We went to a Cardinals game together.
Oh, that's right.
We ate
a
shit ton of hot dogs.
Oh, yeah. You were $1 hot dog night?
Yeah,
hell
that was
great. I love
that's
$1
good stuff,
hot dog night.
Love a dog at the pack.
The weirdest part of that game, though, is there were still... So $1, you just got the plain hot dog, but you could still pay full price, which is $7, to get the Chicago style with everything on it.
Yeah.
And there were people asking and paying $7 for the full Chicago style.
So not even getting like the benefit of...
No, they were paying full regular day price.
Wait,
$1 hot dog night.
Because they wanted
Chicago style.
But you can't do that yourself? Isn't there like a condiment stand?
It was
stand?
A condiment stand. It was only like...
But it didn't have
no peppers.
Everything. No peppers, no tomatoes.
Drag
the,
through the garden.
None of the fancy crap.
Can't drag it through the garden.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
That's fucking crazy. So it's like really, they could have $1 hot dog day every day and not really have that much of a loss.
Well, hot dogs are very cheap.
Oh, yeah, to begin with. Yeah.
I ate maybe 6 hot dogs that day.
Nice.
Like, I ate a lot.
And you spent less than person getting 1 Chicago dog.
Yeah, right?
Dude, some people have too much money, I'll say.
Sure, oh, absolutely. Yeah,
I
for
saw
sure.
somebody order the $20 helmet full of nachos last time I was at a Cubs game. I was like, go fuck yourself. How dare you?
I'm too humble to be rich.
Yeah, I was on Reddit. Someone asked, like, you know, like, people that grew up, like, poor and then got a lot of money or, like, have, like, successful careers now. Like, what's the biggest difference between, like, being poor and rich? And someone was just like, I go to restaurants and I don't, like, I've never had to, like, look at the prices. I just get what I want at restaurants. That,
oh my
like,
God. People
fucking
do that?
Screw, like, cars insane. And houses and stuff. That is just that is awesome. Yeah.
Well, I mean,
that's a logic.
If you're really rich, it can be that in your entire life. Like, I don't think about money.
Oh,
that's as rich as you need to be. I have enough money that I don't think about money.
Yeah, you beat the game, basically.
I just ball out.
Yeah.
But balling out is expensive, you know?
Well, there's a balancing act, though, too. Like, if you can...
No balance, dude. I just want to get wildly rich and spend it all.
Well, we're off to a great start, bro. We're on the right path towards success. I see it.
I just want to have
comedy's
going to
make
too
me
much
wildly
money.
Rich.
I just want to have enough money to have season tickets to all my favorite teams every year.
Damn, dude, dope.
How much money is that? Roughly,
like,
that's
and,
like you could give us a dollar
and I could buy whatever
is.
I wanted.
Well,
whenever I want.
And I can buy whatever
don't
I want.
Don't you have favorite teams in different cities too? So you got
and don't those fall
travel.
Into
like that's where it comes into when I can buy anything I want whenever
those
I
fall
want.
Into
and I never have to work again. But besides that, I don't need much money.
I'd settle for just the don't have to work again. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't have anything, even comedy. Nothing that I'm passionate enough about. Where it's like, as soon as I can retire, I'm retiring.
Yeah,
if
for
I
sure.
can do nothing all day.
That is the oh my God. That'd be amazing.
That's fucking
but then they say people get depressed when that happens, though. It's like you need to have
some
kind of purpose.
No, I mean, that's what they say. My dad just retired, and everyone was shocked because he was this workaholic, and they were like, we thought you'd like work till you died. And he was like, no, I was working so hard so that I could retire. You
know?
And they just did it. They're like,
that's crazy.
And he's chill? How long has it been?
A few months, 6 months maybe.
And he's not like he's not getting cabin fever at all.
No, he's doing nothing and loving it.
And loving
that's
it.
That's a t-shirt, dude. Doing nothing and loving it.
Yeah, it's living the dream.
Retired class of 2018. Dude, that shirt, we're going to be rich.
If I made enough money to never work again, I would literally never do anything again.
Yeah.
Like, I would just sit.
What was that sentence?
I'm saying like I would die. Like I just wouldn't leave
I would die.
I would order food. I'd be put on one of those TV shows where people bring me like a hot plate to my lap.
And I'd love to see food on top of 600-pound Colin Unger. That would be a hoot.
Oh man,
I would take a look.
I'd take a peek.
I would see that.
Save me a bite.
That's my final form.
600 pounds.
Yeah, you would die form. Pretty quickly. So yes, yeah. Yeah. That would be
fine. Yeah.
That's just what I'm trying.
It's most people's final form.
Yeah.
If they arms achieve it, can't reach around myself to hold an Xbox controller is when I die.
Nice.
I'm just gonna have.
Can you get that fat that you can't like touch your hands
together?
I like
to think so.
Someone
probably.
Who's like a T-Rex.
Those people. Yeah. Those people who are like can't get out of bed. They can't clap either.
Like Jabba the Hutt. Oh, just, I'm trying to be Jabba the Hutt.
Jabba whoopa Jabba.
I want to be so fat you can't see where my legs split. I want them to just become one.
Like
just
two feet?
No, just one leg. Just one.
Just one leg.
Just like a slug. I want to become a slug.
Damn, dude.
All right.
I didn't know this was inside you, man. I'm sorry.
I'm in a dark place right now, man.
No, yeah, Jesus. You don't want to achieve that. You're not a slug, man.
Yeah, you're more than a slug. You're like a snail, dude. You got like a...
I'm going to have two cell phones.
You're like a sloth.
RuneScape twice.
You played two.
You're like a sloth. You're going to fall out of a tree.
Just playing against yourself.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of stand-up leading us to great careers of success, what do you guys think of Netflix? Did you hear the news? Like, they're going to have, like, 42 comedy specials released next year.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
42, like hour specials?
Is that
I think it's
going to
be, like, a mishmash of, like, different formats. But, like, do you think that's, like, saturation? Like, I don't know. I was, like, trying to read it and, like, figure out how I thought about it. But, like, I don't know.
Dude, I
feel like there's going to be a lot of bad ones.
Maybe
that and
you said
know,
bandwidth.
That and with so many coming out, it'll be hard to like find the good ones to stand out.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Stand up, honestly. You know.
Yeah.
Hey, I hear about that shit about like I was listening to Bobby Lee's podcast, and he was with Joey Diaz, and Joey Diaz is like a 30-minute one coming out.
Yeah, yeah.
He did one of the like.
Oh, it's like the series to Gen, not the series, but like. Yeah. Watch Liza's Traeger. But
I don't think. I don't know anything, but it can't be bad for comedy because, like, the short ones. People said the 15-minute ones were gonna like be terrible or whatever, but there is no like premium blend or like that kind of shit anymore. It's that's just that on Netflix.
Yeah,
which is a short form.
Yeah, I love that concept. The 15-minute one.
Yeah, that's good.
It's more people seen, and it's
It's weird calling it a special. Like it's just more of like a TV credit, like that's what that would have been. But they're on Netflix, so they're like an individual standalone thing now.
Right,
it's only 15 minutes long, but it's still it's the same thing. It's like people who are at that place of their career at that time would do that, as opposed to some like premium blend or the other like
types of shows. Yeah, I mean, do you guys think it speaks to like the number of people trying to do comedy right now?
Oh, absolutely.
Obviously, we're all great at it.
Obviously.
No, but, I mean, I do think, like, stand-up, it is, like, low barrier to entry. So I think, like, a lot
there's
of people...
no barrier.
Yeah, there's, like, no barrier. Like, write something down and show up. Yeah, and I think we do happen to live in a time where there are, like, more people than ever that are, like, no, my thoughts are what people need to hear. So that, like... And I think you get a lot of people that like probably are better built for like politics.
Yeah,
trying to be a comic.
Are the people you see that their whole message is my thoughts need to be heard? Is that funny? Like, is that?
Oh no!
Are those people? Those people ever the ones that like stand it?
Yeah. There's like personality comics now where it's like you know, look at who I am. Like look at what I'm doing and the motions I make on stage and stuff. And it's not so much writing as much like on with a lot of them.
Yeah, I'd agree.
But there's always been. I feel like that's you know is that I don't know how, maybe how many people try to lean on that is new, but that's not necessarily new. Like the greats are always like that's a defined personality up there.
Yeah, yeah.
But then now everyone's like, my.
Colin's
personality? Stuff. Are you making that noise?
Yeah.
Colin's doing
it. I can't hear that.
Yeah.
My headphones not plugged in?
I was making an extremely good point about stand-up comedy there.
I don't hear anything.
Now you're
Justin
mixing
was
and
about to change the game.
Mixing and scratching over there while I'm...
Yeah.
Come on.
I think my headphones are broken.
Probably.
I think your ears.
Probably.
Are
these are all. Wait, no. Wait. Put the other ear on.
Yeah, one of those doesn't work.
Oh, there we go.
God damn it.
Oh, there we go. I did
that. Yeah, it only comes out of one ear.
There it is.
Yeah.
Let me hear what it sounded like.
Yeah.
Oh, that is. Yeah, that's real.
That's obnoxious.
That's real annoying.
So what were we talking about?
Talking about how
sucks that you guys haven't listened to that.
How we're all going to be successful at stand-up comedy, but not anybody
else. Saw the post on Reddit, and someone was like, all right, next we're going to start just live-streaming open mics. Like,
that'd be awful.
And that sounds bitter.
Yeah, why would you do that?
Yeah.
The comedy bar does that.
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
My only fear is, like...
There's nothing worse than when you fucking bomb at the comedy bar.
Uh-huh.
You see it on your phone later.
Oh,
they streamed that whole
thing.
Oh,
Jesus,
cool.
Yeah.
That's, I don't watch anything if it's live.
I hate that. That puts stakes on the situation that shouldn't have stakes.
Yeah, open mic should be, like, you know, as open as it could be.
Right.
Comedy bar is nice because it's almost like a simulated show, kind of. Like if you know.
I feel like there's somewhat stakes there.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh, this is a real room, and the people that run this place are here.
Right.
So I would like to do well.
It's like the lowest, highest stakes open
mic.
But
it's still an open mic. Anyone can go there, but anyone also has that in front of them, you know?
Like, right. Yeah. Like, I guess my fear, though, is like, hypothetically, say there's like a lot of bad comedy in that 42. Like, obviously, there's going to be good ones, but maybe there's like a bunch of like, will that... Thinking of like how the average consumer is, do you think they'll like see that and be like, oh, well, stand-up sucks. I don't like stand-up. You know, if they see enough that didn't really blow their mind?
If they see enough, maybe. But, I mean, if you're... That's the thing about Netflix. They do advertise and they market and all that, but if you're watching stand-up, it's because you were seeking out stand-up on Netflix, so you're probably already a fan. So I think they'll give them some leash on that.
Yeah, yeah.
But in general, I mean, you hear about that with... That's what people complain about with even local shows, you know. You got a bad lineup. People are going to see that. It's associated bad stuff.
They're not
Chicago
coming back.
Stand up, blah, blah. So, I mean, I don't know. That worry is always there. But I think Netflix-wise, it'll be fine.
Yeah, and Netflix.
I think it's good.
Yeah, I mean, their backbone was, like, built on stand up a lot, too. Because, like, when they're, you know, stand up is, like, a cheaper thing to produce. So,
when
Netflix was, like, nothing. Like, Bill Burr was talking about that. How, like, you know, he took a chance on them as much as they took a chance on him. And now, like, their careers have kind of grown together, you know, with, like, F is for Family and stuff and all his specials. Like,
I heard it depends on how much you get paid for, like, a Netflix special. Depends on how much you made on, like, a tour.
Interesting. Well, I mean, that just seems directly related. Like,
they'll pay you what you made on that tour.
I mean, that's probably
so
a good representation.
Like, show us the receipts.
But that's for, like, we'll
pay you for it.
That's like
I
think that's only for like the huge.
It's gotta be good for
selling out theaters and shit.
Even the people, I forget who it was in town and was talking about how, by the time they did a half hour or whatever, and by the time like all their fees and everything's all out, he made like $6,500. And he's like, I didn't even make that much, but I feel like that's so, like you were saying, anybody watching stand up on Netflix is. Searching for it.
Yeah.
And that's just good to have it all in one place where anyone who searches for it can watch a shitload of stand up.
Works for the porn.
I don't see
sites.
How that could be a bad thing.
Yeah,
works for the porn.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Can I snag another one of those teddy
bears?
Yeah. Hopefully this phone interview doesn't call.
Dude, what's going on with that? Derek, do you have a day job?
Yeah, I work out in the suburbs. I do the reverse commute. Work for like do an engineering firm.
Oh, are you an engineer?
Yeah.
Holy shit. Like what kind?
Electrical.
What?
So,
like AC/DC?
You guys hiring?
Yeah. Pretty much.
That's pretty cool.
You guys hiring?
We are, but
he's what we call an autodidact. So Colin will kind of, if you just hire him, he'll...
Electrical engineering, I can figure it out.
Yeah, it's called being a survivor.
In all fairness, what I do, you could figure out. It's hard to get the degree, but like the field I work in is not hard to operate in.
Interesting.
Do you still... I used to see you out at Riddles a lot. Do you work near there? Is that where it's...
No, but it's just easier to get around once you're in the suburbs to other suburbs.
Do you still go there on Mondays?
Every once in a while.
I haven't been in a while.
Not as often. Yeah, it's been a good amount since I've been there too, but I like to do
shout out Riddles.
I like to do like mics and stuff in the burbs as well, because it's I don't know. Yeah, it's convenient for where
you
I work.
You need a fresh room.
Yeah, and exactly. They don't know that my old material is my old material. Yeah, totally. Yeah. So that they're like, yeah, that's a great new joke. I'm like,
dude,
sure.
It's worth every once in a while just like going to some place you never, like, yeah, within reason, just go out to some suburb to a mic you never go to, and you're like, oh, I can just fucking play the hits.
Yeah.
That place we went to, what was that place we went to after Comedy Shrine?
Oh, yeah.
The wine bar, but I, dude, that would have been dope if we wouldn't have had to go at the fucking end.
Yeah.
Oh,
I
right.
mean, after it, everybody it sucked left for us, but everyone before us was they had a great room.
Yeah, it was. That was like one of the. If that was in the city, that would have been a crazy good mic.
Cause that lady said she paid for like watching Hulu and got an applause break.
Yeah.
What? Yeah.
She was talking about her bill. She's like, and then Hulu takes my money, and it got like an applause break.
Wow.
It was insane.
That was when we all looked at each other like, oh, this is about to be.
Yeah, what was that set?
This
that was
about
like,
to be fucking.
Or Spotify T-ball. Or something.
That was crazy. That was like ramblings of a
like,
mad lady.
And then Netflix automatically takes my money or something.
And it was like, what?
I was like, oh my God, they
like,
do.
They take our money too.
I'm going to need to get the information for this mic.
Yeah, it was.
Good healthy ego stroking.
Oh man, yeah.
Dude, it was like super, it was completely full and everybody was there. Comedy was the only thing happening in the room. Yeah. There's nothing worse than forcing people to watch comedy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, that was the only thing happening in the room.
That sucked.
Huh?
They didn't take credit card.
Oh yeah, it was cash only.
Dude, I did the show
cold hard cash
in Canada recently where I was like in Canada for my job, and then I did a bar show while I was there, and it was one that like half the audience didn't know there was going to be a show.
Oh.
But Canada, they were so polite, like the stereotype that like they looked upset, but they did not leave the room because it would be like impolite. So they just,
oh my
so
God.
They just watched with very stern faces.
You can't
faces.
Walk Canadians.
Yeah. It was,
they're too nice.
It was just like, it's fine if you leave. Just don't. Like, yeah, there's, I feel worse.
Yeah, there's a point where it's like, just go.
Yeah.
Please
leave.
Sometimes it's like, was Phyllis's? That time we did
Phyllis's.
Phyllis's.
When's the last time you did that?
I don't know, a while ago.
I think I've done it. I know I've done it since that time we did it.
Somebody, I saw someone walk the old regulars that are always there in the back, and I was like, that must have. They must
like we have to go somewhere else now
to be a regular at Phyllis's and leave.
Well, if you're a regular at Phyllis's, you should be expecting comedy and stuff.
You should at least know what's coming by then.
Yeah.
I feel like
it's
if you're a regular at
they're
post,
always the
you should
same
be expecting
guys.
Bad
they
things.
They always yell stuff
in
the
life.
Back.
Well, that's fun.
You know what I'm talking about, Justin?
I mean, yeah, there's always like a group in the back. Dude, I've seen
it's
multiple
always, like,
times
really,
where like
really
one
dudes.
Guy there tried to like shout some shit back or whatever. Like, because like I saw Merritt was there one time and just fucking tanked. Literally the whole show for everybody, like, because
everybody tanked.
Somebody said so. Like, some guy was walking by and like said something to the bartender. She was like, "Hey, why don't you shut the fuck up?" or whatever. Like, just yelled some hateful shit at him. Yeah, just immediately went at him. You know. And he was like, "Oh yeah, well I fucking own this bar. I'll just he's like, I'll just go turn the mic and the lights off or whatever." And she's like, "Fuck you."
Like, did he
and
do
then
it?
So he went and he didn't turn the mic off, but he turned the lights off on her or something. So she was like standing on the stage in the dark. But then eventually they got turned back on and she was like trying to like tell jokes afterwards. I don't know. The guy was like clearly pissed. He like sat in the very front, like right in front of her with his arms crossed after she like got shitty with him.
Damn.
And it's just like afterwards, it's like, okay, guys, only fucking 17 more comics after
right.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. The cool. response to like, I hate what comics, like any crowd noise made by anyone, it's just immediately like combative. Like, fuck you. It's like,
yeah.
It's like,
no, so if, what, yeah.
This
if,
isn't a fight. This shouldn't have to be a fight every time.
So people are so ready to like pounce or whatever. Especially, but I feel like it's rare that you actually have the opportunity to do that and still be like in the right and like have them on your side.
Absolutely. Well, and it's, it's rare that the noise you're hearing was meant to be like dickish to you.
Yeah.
You know, either they. Yeah, they're not doing it with malice towards you. They're just like, you know, dumb.
Yeah. I saw that happen at Durkin's. Like, I think someone was bombing, but they had like a kind of funny joke, and like one of the audience members like turned to his friend and was just like, yeah, man. And the guy just immediately was like, yo, what the fuck? Like,
what
dude,
the fuck are you laughing
what,
at?
What, something funny? And it was like, I thought that was a funny joke.
And he just
starts like digging in. The guy's like, dude, just tell another joke. Like,
yeah.
And he's like, oh, I should tell another joke, huh? I should tell. It's like,
damn.
just didn't have any other jokes. That. That's why. He's like, no matter what, when I do that joke, I immediately go at someone because I have no other material. It's just my act.
Yeah, man, it's wild, man.
Or when they like repeat the joke to the, and then, the most dickish I'll get at that is just be like, yep, that's what I said. That was funny.
Rarely does like just fucking going at somebody lend itself to like a better show.
No. No,
some people like watching a train wreck, but those aren't the people you want at your show anyway.
If you can like happily in a positive way also kind of like get them to shut up, like that's like the best, that's like this master level if you could do that.
Yeah.
Like where it's like we're all friends here, but also like keep it down and also have a joke in saying that. Like that's a recipe for
Dude, I saw a tip. He was closing out the Berwyn show that we're doing a while back, and some guy was just being a fucking asshole. Some young guy was just being a fucking asshole in the front, like literally at the very front table, and he handled it like perfectly because he said, the guy said something like right, just like stepped right on, like he's like, hey, when a comedian is not saying something, they're pausing intentionally, like you don't, that's not your cue to like shout something out, it's a timing thing. And this guy, I forget what he said, but the team just went after him. Like he did this thing where he was up on stage and the guy's obviously like below him, like on, and so he had his hand on one knee and was like leaning over, like talking directly at his face, which is just very belittling to talk to someone like they're a child. And he was doing that and it was funny and it was funny, and then it started getting kind of tense and he just kept like, you're a fucking idiot. Do you go out and just think that people need to hear you like just going at him? And it was like, and then it started to get tense, and then he was like, hey, like next time I pause, just let me do the punchline. He's like, I didn't have one, but let me do it next time. And like, that got a huge laugh. It just brought him right back. So like if you can bring it back on yourself at the very end, it was like masterfully done. It was beautiful. That guy, I hope that guy got ass cancer.
Wait, that was Tim? He was
being a douche. Tim.
Tim Smith.
That was at the Berwyn show. Friendly Tap, folks. The first Sunday of every month. Lizzie's
beautiful sweet boy.
In Berwyn, Illinois. Yeah,
it's a great show. Great show, folks. Head out to that show.
Great show, folks.
Yep.
One time I saw Tim.
I'm trying to get Dreamers to show up so we don't have to deal with assholes like the guy I was just telling a story about. Who? The Dreamers, that's what we call our fans.
Okay.
I thought you were talking about like Mexicans.
I also want children of immigrants also, yes.
I want people who don't understand what I'm saying.
The Dreamers. Yeah.
Well, it's funny that comes out that we actually do have a dream-based podcast where we discuss dreams.
Oh, hell yeah.
Derek, do you ever have dreams?
Yeah, occasionally. Not as often as when I was a child, but
hell yeah.
I do. Before, though, they were like metaphors for my anxieties, and now they're just like my real anxiety, which is great. Like, my child brain had to make stuff up, and now my brain's like, no, you're in this situation right now. Oh my God.
You're in the shit.
Yeah.
So you just have, like work dreams? Do you do that a lot? We have those.
No, I don't care enough about
work. Or that's not your stressor?
Outside of work. No.
What's your stressor?
Social situations, mostly. Where social situations and just, like... where I think everyone hates me, but in my dreams, like, they do. You know? and I'm like, but, like, they're passive-aggressive about it, and I got to, like, get out of there. Then someone's drunk enough, they do try to fight me. I just run. It's stuff like that. You know, real fun stuff.
So you're at, like a house party is, like, a nightmare for you.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, like literally your nightmares are you're at a house party.
More or less, yeah. And I don't know, like the two or three comics that I rely on for friendship, like, aren't there. And so I'm just like, oh, these are the other ones, and then they all hate me.
The others.
I don't explicitly know that you like me, I think you hate me. Where it works.
I definitely relate to that.
Yeah. Because I definitely hate Justin, so.
Well, no. See, I thought he explicitly liked me, but that one was a curveball.
Do you guys ever get that feeling? Like, I've always had this my whole life where it's like, I guess a good example would be like checking out in a grocery store and you watch the person like check out the cashier and they're very friendly, like, oh, thank you, goodbye. And then the second you walk up and you're like, hi, they're like, oh, hey. Like is that perception
like
or do you like, did you have like an energy they didn't like? Like, what is that? Like,
it's probably just in a bad mood.
They're
at work.
I guess.
I gotta say, that one's a thought I've never had before, but I'm gonna go ahead and add it to the list. Now cashiers also don't like me.
Well, it's more the comparison. Like, you'll watch.
I can relate to it.
Faking the nice and them being
Yeah, maybe they, nice they're like, oh, that, maybe.
That's why I always keep it 100.
Because that's what I would do when I would have to, like, host at a restaurant.
Yeah, yeah.
If someone's nice, I'll be nice back. But if someone's just, like, content, I'd just give... I'd give back what I got.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If I walk up and I'm like, hey, you know what? Let me just smile and say hi and try to interact with someone in this world. And then it's like they're not happy. It's like, what did I do?
That's sure. What... Well, I can. I worked at McDonald's for 3 summers.
Oh, my God.
I was like the cashier. Like I was, so I was like customer service. And I can understand that because I feel like I was always putting on this big act, this happy act, and I was very good at it. But then when someone came back at me with like equal amount of happiness,
oh yeah,
I'd let myself be like, ah, oh, okay, this one I don't have to work as
yeah
hard for.
Interesting. So
I could see that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I worked the cash register at a Taco Bell for a long time, and I definitely would have like a mental note of like, oh, that person was friendly. Oh, this guy was a fucking dickhead. Like, even just with the quick little 2 minute interaction that we'd have, yeah, like, oh, that guy's an asshole. Yeah. This guy's not an asshole.
Uh-huh. I'm starting to freak out my coworkers a little bit. I didn't realize, like, I was doing it kind of as a joke, I think, originally. But, like, I'll take, like, phone calls from, like, people. I'm basically, like, tech support. And I'll like, take a call from someone. And I've, like, now, like, it started as a joke where I'd just be, like, on the phone, like if they were talking, I'd be like that to my coworkers.
That's a good bit.
Yeah.
Solid. For the listener, he's acting really
never
frantically.
Killed. Like never
his,
killed.
His face is really frantic, but it's yeah a normal call.
No, but like now I'm finding myself the second the person on the other line, like they say something like, yeah, you know, I just don't know how to, I'm clicking into this thing. I'm like punching shit, like just so mad. Like it's crazy like how much customer service sucks. Yeah. The facade you have to have.
I do think that's always a funny bit, though. I want to reiterate that.
Yeah,
talking to someone on the phone and then making a totally different tone with your body language is hilarious.
Yeah,
sure.
It's just a fact.
I didn't realize how like disengaged I've become, how disengaged I seem at work until. So I was on this other podcast, Paul Farvar, Single Only. Shout out.
We'll bleep that out.
Yeah. Right, anyway, I was on that, and one of my coworkers listened to the episode, and he just came up and he's like, you must be good in job interviews. I didn't know you could talk like that. I was like, what? Like, well, like you seemed engaged, like you were active, and it just you.
I didn't know you could talk.
It sounded
like
you were making eye contact. I was like, I guess I don't do that.
What does that sound like?
I just choose not to talk to you.
Yeah.
That's a guy who can't take a hint.
Coworkers in the eyes.
I mean, I'm probably not.
You're just always wearing sunglasses at work.
That would be great, actually.
Don't be the cool guy at the office. Yeah.
Smacking people's folders out of their hands.
I've never worked at an office, but that would be hilarious if there was a bully. It was just like school.
You never had to do any work. The boss just loved them.
Yeah.
Chat.
What?
What'd you say? I said his name was Chat.
Yeah, I think wearing the cans makes us like too conscious of what the other person's saying. Where are you
like,
were you going to say something?
It is kind of loud in one ear.
Yeah, in just one ear. Yeah.
Only one of yours works.
How'd you get into stand-up, Derek? I'm always curious, like, when I meet someone that's, like, kind of living, like, in the STEM world, kind of, like, you know, because usually there's not a lot of, like, funny, creative folks in that world.
Yeah, no, there's a few, and I feel like I know all of them, because... Like Lonnie Love is an electrical engineer.
What the fuck? Really?
Yeah. Mr. Bean, Rowan
Atkinson. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Master's in electrical.
Wow.
And that's it. But, and me. So we're kind of an exquisite. No. I was just always obsessed with it as a kid. I was always obsessed watching the Comedy Central Presents, watching just any like stand-up I could get my hands on. Me and my brother, that's how we spend our Friday nights, for the Friday night stand-up on Comedy Central.
Oh, yeah,
and,
yeah.
Road trips with the family, we'd just be reciting jokes that we heard on various albums and stuff. And, when I lived in Des Moines, Iowa, out of a college, and I saw signs for comedy open mics, and I had this aha moment of, like, anyone can try this. It's not, like, special people plucked out of the air.
So I
started writing, and then I moved here, and then I was like, oh, well, now I don't have an excuse to not try it. And so, yeah.
Oh, so you moved here for work, and then it just happened to be a great place to pursue
it? I moved here for my job, and then, I was just like, well, I'm here, so let's give this a shot.
Wow, yeah. And now he's just regular at Zany's, folks. Just moved here.
That's nuts. Yeah. Man.
Chicago's such a good city to like started. Well, to be, that's great, because you could get better so fast or so much stage.
You really do. It's like the right balance of like, it's like a relatively supportive place. Like you'll meet friends and they'll support you in doing it. It's not like cutthroat, but it also is a little bit where it's like, you do feel like I do got to like work hard.
Oh yeah.
You know, how? Like,
yeah. I remember the guys headline shows when I was coming up, they just push you to work harder because they were so good. And like I said, so much stage time and but without like the stakes of a New York or LA where, you know, it's no one's actually
watching.
Seeing you. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Like if you bomb, it's okay. You just go to the next bomb. You're like, it's fine.
How long were you doing stand up before you moved to Chicago? Or like how often? You said you did a open mic in Des Moines?
No, I saw signs for open mics.
Oh, okay. And then once you're here, you're like, well, I can easily do this.
My first open mic was Three Dead Moose at Will's.
Dope.
Where'd you move him?
Like 5 years ago, a little over 5 years ago.
Yeah, I'm always curious about people who, I mean, I guess this question doesn't go to you anymore because I started here. The first time I ever did stand-up was in Chicago, so I'm always curious about other people's, because so many people, you know, there's like kind of comedy going on where they were, and then they come here. Where I was, there was one open mic in Evansville, Indiana that was like mixed arts, and like people would kind of, but there was no host. They're like, you would just have to go up and like try to do a set.
Yeah.
And that's a fucking nightmare. Yeah, a town outside of Evansville. Yeah.
Okay,
Hopstad, Indiana.
Okay.
Folks,
I got
shout
family.
Out.
I got family there.
Oh,
and,
nice.
And Carmi, Illinois, just across the river. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah, there's not a lot of comedy going on there. There's in Bloomington, but I was when you're at that point when you're just like thinking about doing it, you're not in the mindset of like, oh, I will have to travel for this.
Right.
Like if I lived in Evansville now, I'd be like, oh, I'm going to Bloomington every Wednesday to try to get up at the Comedy Attic.
Yeah.
But that doesn't really like cross your mind before you're like doing it. So yeah, I moved here to do it. The first time I ever went up was Shubas.
Ooh.
Yeah, that sucked.
Yeah.
I mean, I still bomb there all the time, but
well, that room,
I did
that
it
room's
a lot
bit, is more support, a lot more supportive now than when I first started. That used to be the room you bombed in.
Yeah.
And well, now it's a bit more of a positive, supportive
and the drop
place.
Took its place.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I got here, it was, like, super hot. Like, there was a lot of people there all the time, and then it got really, like, not. And then now it's like, Shubas is back, baby.
Yeah.
It's fucking
I've been
packed every Monday.
Forever.
It's packed, dude. I live down the street, so I go back now. But there's nothing worse than sitting at a mic for like four hours and not getting drunk.
Oh,
like, I'm going home.
That was the last time I did Shubas. I was there like from start to finish.
Yeah. That always sucks. But but if you get up early there, it's so worth it. It's like packed every week now.
I think Bobby Buds was still running it the last time.
He doesn't run it anymore. Dude, that's it. So was Rena Calm running Three Dead the first when you went up
Rena
there?
Rena Calm and David Drake were, David was still running it,
David Drake left right before I started, but whenever he comes back,
I remember seeing that guy around
when I ran undergrad. He's so fucking funny.
Oh, he was one of the like the first like wave or whatever of people that went to New York when I first got here. I remember seeing him around for like
a
little bit.
Was he and Jabuki in the same wave? Because they were both gone when I started.
No, that guy was already.
So you were here when like Jabuki started?
Yeah.
Was he like? Because he just got a half hour, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, him, Tom Takar, and
I never saw him.
Tom was here when I started.
Was he?
Oh,
that dude who dropped
those
like 31 videos.
Both those guys were gone by the time I got here.
I've seen Tom go once. Yeah, he was gone too, but he was so fucking funny when I saw him.
Oh, Tom's the best. Speaking of
Southern Indiana. He started at the Comedy Act,
right? Right, but do you know the theme park Holiday World?
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. That's how me and him became friends. We were playing basketball, and he showed up with a Holiday World basketball. And we just talked about Holiday World for like an hour.
Where I grew up, that was like a summer gig people would always do. They'd go work at Holiday World.
Like Adventureland style?
Yeah, sort of. It's just like a cheap, simple theme park.
Uh-huh.
Like they have a couple like huge roller coasters, but they're wooden. They're not like like new or crazy or anything.
Won the ball.
It's actually, about to nerd out, they have like... It's like the first and third biggest. Okay, Lizzie, look up the Raven.
Biggest what?
We've done this before, I think. Look up the Raven and the Pilgrimage or something. I forget what the other one's called.
Yeah, there's one that's like
it's about pilgrims
or something like it. Yeah.
There's but I know the Raven is like it's like they're like top five biggest wooden roller coasters in the world.
Fuck that, dude.
Yeah, dude.
In the world. They're huge. It's like a normal roller coaster at Disney, but it's wood.
I don't like them. You hear it. You hear the wood.
It's creaking.
You're burying the lead. You get free pop.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Whoa. And sunscreen.
They just have stations throughout the...
There's free unlimited soda and sunscreen.
Are you kidding
It's in
me?
Santa Claus, Indiana.
Oh, that's actually the lead. Yeah, Santa Claus, Indiana is the name of the town it's in.
That's
yeah,
it's in Santa Claus, Indiana. There's a theme park where each little section is themed after a different holiday. There's like Halloween Town and Christmas and fucking...
That's amazing.
Unlimited Pride soda Parade. Is like out of Parks and Rec. That's like an episode.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
right?
It's great. Yeah, they just got stations and cups. And you
yeah,
just
yeah.
Go
There's just these little huts. Awesome. And you just go self-serve fountain drinks.
You go to a dentist
that,
when you walk out.
What places like amusement parks really high and they're play, like spraying those sprinklers of like water?
Oh, yeah,
is that
yeah.
just like 7-Up at this place? Like,
yeah.
Spray people with... There's a water park and a theme... Holiday World's fucking dope, dude.
Yeah, man.
That Lizzie... How do we get
Splash
in touch?
And Safari.
Yeah, Splash and Safari. That's the water park. How do we get in touch with them? I'm thinking sponsorship.
Dude,
okay.
Sponsorship for sure.
I think Holiday World is, so the people that own it, I think the family is called the Cook family. Their last name is Cook. I think that's why they call them the Cook family. But they were from St. Wendell, I think. I could be talking completely out of my ass. St. Wendell, and that's a like a little town near where I grew up. They went to like it's just like another little like Catholic town where I grew up. I'm pretty sure they're from there, and they were just like insanely loaded, but they were managed to be pretty like normal people.
Yeah.
I think. So I'm saying, throw around, tell them I'm from Hopstadt, Indiana,
yeah,
and they
yeah.
will surely sponsor this podcast.
For sure, we don't need much.
We don't need much.
We
dude.
Just need unlimited soda.
Yeah, honestly, I'll take unlimited soda. That's it. You get one
yeah,
of them stations
them,
set
they
up
send
in
you
the
like
house.
The boxes of syrup. You
yeah.
Like, I don't know what we're gonna do with
yeah,
this.
If they could at least get us a soda hookup, I know they're. Is it the Coke? It might be. I thought it was
Coke Brothers.
Like yeah,
oh,
KOCH,
oh.
The Bad Boys.
I think I don't know. I just remember like the matriarch or whatever, like the grandma. She was always on the commercials. So like Google image search that. And see if there's an old lady with some huge ass diamond earrings.
Oh, that's not what I thought you were
going to
say.
Big old diamond
earrings. She was like this sweet old lady, but she had just these blinging ass earrings, and that's all I remember
Damn.
From the commercial. Like, oh, these people
is that
are
what the kids are calling
loaded.
It these
days. She had bling, dude. Is it an old lady in a yellow polo?
Holy shit!
She'd be like, "Hey, it's fucking Holiday World.
Dude,
come get some."
I don't.
Is that soda?
I don't trust.
That's all
soda.
All the water
pools.
Slides. It's just Sprite.
Splash
and Safari, baby.
I don't trust.
So there should be a
any wooden
if it's the old commercials. There should be a thing of her like talking to the camera, like, "Hey, I'm fucking the lady that owns this place, and I'm rich."
She sounds racist.
I'm rich, bitch. That's what she says. She's like, "Yeah, we got free soda. Come fucking ride
I
these roller coasters."
Huge ass earrings.
Got these giant diamonds hanging out of my ears.
Oh my God.
And she had that old school lady haircut that looks like Lego people hair. Just
yeah.
snubs
never,
off.
Never,
you know?
Never in a different place.
Damn.
Yeah.
I want to go to Hollywood.
I remember those commercials, man. Watching them be like, damn. Can't wait till this summer. I'm going to Holiday World.
Yeah, I used to go there. When we were little. We'd go there, and yeah, they had like the kids section, and yeah, my uncle or my cousin got in trouble for taking us up too high in the birds, and I started. I had a panic attack.
I'll get you. That's her, dude. That's her. Is she wearing some nice ass earrings?
Damn, she's good looking, dude.
Yeah, she's so hot. She's got some big earrings, dude.
Justin,
they got that money. I told you, I remember that lady.
You're going to have to sleep with her to get us a sponsorship.
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
What year did that come out?
No problem.
Oh, she's still
dead.
Going.
Six.
She's dead as 12 fuck.
Years ago.
What? No.
It's been, what, 13
bad.
Years?
She looked
she
still
didn't
stand.
Look
she looked like it was.
The way she looked in that commercial, she could still hang for 12
like
more
it was,
years.
You know yeah, that yeah. scene in Indiana Jones where they open up the chest and people start melting? It looked like they opened it and then
melted.
Shut it halfway. And she's just what's left over.
Jesus.
Poor lady. Yeah.
I didn't have any of that shit in Florida.
Well, she's
dude.
Rich. She's got those earrings.
There's
parks?
No theme parks in Florida, man.
No, South Florida. South Florida. I mean, they got it in Orlando.
Dude,
and
we would go to.
You ride gators.
See, we go to Holiday World just for shits and giggles, you know, but we went to Florida to go to theme parks.
Where,
that was
like,
the vacation you take
like
when
Orlando?
You grew up in Indiana.
Like,
I guess we go to. Yeah, you go to Florida.
Not South Florida. South Florida is like, well, we got the beach. That's all we need.
Well, where's Six Flags. Where's Disney World?
What? No, that's in like mid Florida. That's Orlando.
Mid Florida.
Oh, this is like the Illinois debate, because I'm from like Central Illinois, but everyone up here calls it Southern Illinois. So I'm sure everyone calls Orlando Southern Florida.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like Panhandle, Southern Florida. So
It's a weird thing because I tell people I'm from Southern Indiana, because in Chicago, if you tell someone you're from Indiana, they're like, "Oh, you're from an hour away."
Right.
It's like, no, it's like 6 hours away.
Yeah,
all the way
Indiana
down.
Indiana and Illinois are deceivingly long states. Like, yeah. It takes a while to drive.
Long states. That's a boring ass drive too. It's
I can't even imagine.
Flat cornfields.
Yeah.
I remember I drove up from Florida to Chicago, and I drove through like all these states, and I remember like, you know, you drive through Tennessee.
Tennessee's nice though. It's like mountainous.
Yeah, and it's like wow, and then suddenly you start hitting like more of the Midwest, and then it's just like bleh.
Flat.
It's like cornfields and gas stations.
Yeah. It's quite surprising to me from like here to Iowa. Once you hit Iowa, there's like rolling hills and stuff. I wasn't expecting that. Like, because from the 3 hours from Chicago to the border is just flat and boring and awful. But then like from there to Des Moines, it's like hilly and interesting. I wouldn't expect that.
I don't know nothing about that hilly and interesting.
You sound these should Indiana. Go on like the board of tourism, like in pamphlets. Like I wouldn't expect that. Just like
you wouldn't expect
testimonials.
It's not bad.
There's you wouldn't expect
that. There's the rolling hills. I did not see that coming. That's right, folks. Come on down and see rolling hills.
Speaking rolling of hills. Fun parks, whatever. You know what we should do? We should go parks? To medieval times.
Dude, I'm down, dude. I'm down to start doing dumb shit.
I want to get fucked up and go to medieval times.
I've never been.
Watch I haven't been as an adult.
Fight. Yeah, I feel like it'd be
did
more
you go
fun.
To the one like in Schaumburg? Is it Schaumburg?
Yeah, Schaumburg.
Yeah, we went to that like back in high school. But
Schaumburg, more like.
Yeah, right? I want to go back and see them fight and like.
So they're legit like jousting. Like they're knocking each other off.
Yeah, they're trying to kill each other, yeah.
And you're eating chicken.
They're going ham.
Do you? Yeah, like, and you're just fucking.
No, they're not acting.
Going
it's
in
a,
on
it's
a turkey
a
leg.
Contest.
It's legit. I worked with a guy who tried to do it. He tried to be a knight, and he couldn't make it through the training.
That's so funny.
He collapsed. We worked together at a pizza place, and he came back. I was like, "What happened?" I was like, "What happened?" He's like, "I collapsed during training."
What is it, like a drill sergeant?
You misunderstood when
like
I said I was going to night school.
I was about to say, was this a guy who would be in shape, or was this like...
Well, I'll just tell you this. After he didn't make it in medieval, or whatever, the night training, he came back
night
and
school.
Started writing a book about a wizard or a warlock or something. And I read a little bit of it, and it was awful. It was terrible.
I think it's
it was the worst thing I've
the
ever
The funniest read. Part is that you were like, yeah, I'll read it. Give it to me.
I asked him to read it. He was writing it while we were at work,
draft?
Like in front of me. Like he wanted me to see it. Like he set up the computer.
Of course
like,
he did.
Started standing there, made the chapter like title where I could see it. It was The Alchemist.
I would have taken way too much pleasure in not asking him about it.
I would
have stood right next to him like, just I'm not gonna acknowledge.
He had
a
decal on his car of like a actually, not even decal. It looks like he just put a big sticker of a fairy on the side of his driver's door.
See, it I would have read it in front of him and just looked upset the whole time.
Like,
oh,
I read it. I was like, yeah, man, just keep going. What else can you do?
Just keep, just keep on keeping on, man.
All right. I just started quoting Matthew McConaughey because I didn't know what else
so
to say.
So bad it was.
I made friends. I was friends with this guy in college because we went to high school, and not many of us went to FSU. So a few of us.
Up.
Yeah, exactly. A few of us stuck together. And he used to like go running, and I'd always like been interested in like, you know, these people that run like 10 miles and stuff for fun. Like, I thought I could be that guy, and I no. But anyways.
Were you that guy for a while?
No, I tried to be. I would go running.
What was the closest you got to being that guy?
We ran like 5 miles one day, and I felt like what they describe as the runner's high. Like, I felt like really giddy and like I'd like taken something almost, and I had like a lot of energy.
It gets you high.
Yeah, like it was strange, but you have to like keep working at that, and I just fuck that.
You have to literally chasing the dragon.
Yeah, but he told me one day, like he very casually mentioned he'd written a book, and I was like, I was like, wow, like I did not expect it at all. And he was like, you want to read it? And I was like, he's like, oh, let me send it to you. Of course, you know, you read it, and it's just like, you know, a young writer, science fiction. No, it was like fantasy, so like all the descriptions were like the sword was long and bright and jewels everywhere. Like
oh, boy.
Just like a paragraph describing a sword. Like
I want to tell people that I wrote a book, and it's just be like the most erotic novel ever of just the weirdest things.
Just send them a Shakespeare play.
Like an alien and a baby. Oh, what?
Alien and baby erotica? Novel?
Yeah, but the baby's...
I don't think he can involve
the baby
babies.
Somehow sneaks on to a launch mission.
Is
the
it?
Only one that
so this is like a Superman
situation. The only
situation.
One that survived. No, they're all...
It's not erotic.
There, they all die. Say... You haven't heard what I got going on yet.
It's all a metaphor.
The only the baby's the only one that survives the launch.
Oh, so he has
without
to
any,
the
without
population.
Any equipment. An alien finds it, and the baby's hungry, so it starts breastfeeding.
Sure,
sort of erotic.
And, you know, you guys know how that goes.
Is
one
it,
thing leads to another, and the alien has sex with the baby.
Is it illegal?
Yes.
To write about fucking a kid?
I think this conversation is illegal.
Cause you can't
yeah,
make
no.
a video
no,
about
no,
fucking
there
a kid.
Has to be books.
But can you write
about
a story
fucking
about it?
A kid.
There has to be a book.
I'm sure,
where
the
a kid
FBI.
Gets
I guess there are videos about it. Yeah,
there's got to be a book where a kid gets like raped or something.
Well, yeah, but that I'm saying like
Mystic River. Somebody
like,
wrote that script.
Because like
and
if
kid
if
got
porn and erotica are the same, like video and book, can you write child erotica? Because child porn is a no go. Child porn not cool.
I mean, what
child erotica?
What
What's
do you
the
call
deal?
Harry
Rugrats.
Potter fan fiction?
What's the deal?
Rugrats go to the red light district. No, that'd be... you don't think that's a winner?
We're not going on the internet with that one.
Yeah, don't Google
that's
that.
Fair.
Don't Google that.
Don't Google
don't
child erotica.
Lizzie,
don't
no.
You can maybe Google, like, is child erotica legal?
Well, I remember Chuck Palahniuk was like, he was talking about this once.
For
where,
asking for a friend.
Yeah.
I'm Googling for a friend.
Chuck Palahniuk was like, you know, when he was like an up and coming writer, he'd go to these like writer workshops and stuff where everyone like reads their
just
each
read
other's
child
work.
Erotica.
Yeah, it's like open mics, but like if you have a book. Like
really?
Yeah, and someone wrote like I think it was fiction, but it was like based on their life, and it was like some pretty like graphic but also artistic descriptions of like what they went through, like they were like molested,
but also artistic.
Yeah.
It was tasteful.
Well, like it was like the imagery they were using was like very, you know.
Your words are good, but
well,
but this whole molestation thing.
They asked the person to stop coming to the meetings because the writing made them uncomfortable, and then
sounds like they were like,
you can't do that.
Yeah, like
there are so many people in the comedy scene that I feel like people would be like, hey, you just. Stop coming back.
Hey, you make everyone
right.
uncomfortable. Can't do
that. Yeah, that's what Chuck was saying. Is like you were Chuck, like he's my buddy. No, Chuck Palahniuk was saying like by not dealing with that discomfort, you're stopping what is potentially great art. Which great art is not always gonna make you feel comfortable. Like it
no,
moves
it's just supposed
you.
To make you react.
Right.
And they were totally reacting.
Yeah, and here's a person like kind of writing an account of
hang.
What they went through.
They couldn't
you know,
handle that art.
They couldn't hang, dude.
Couldn't hang with the art, man. Yeah, yeah. I agree with Chuck.
Yeah,
you gotta get through
my
those
guy
feelings.
Chuck, dude.
Chuck, my dude.
Yeah, you gotta face. Hey, I think we've all grown through trauma, right?
Sure.
Colin, Derek, Justin.
Have you ever seen someone on stage that get kicked off of stage?
Get kicked.
What, kicked?
Just
oh, like a
like booze.
They bring
they
out
get
one
hook?
Of those giant yeah. hooks and just
yeah.
pull them.
Yeah,
up.
Yeah, I've seen that. The Shubas.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've seen back when Jokes and Notes was around, their open mic, if you were like doing really badly, they would just cut you off.
I like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I wish I started when that place was going.
Dude, it was great.
Yeah, I heard it was great.
Those, the audiences were amazing. Like, when they loved you. And like my first time there, Starb Jones was in the audience for some
oh,
reason.
Wow.
At like the open mic. Like, it was,
wow.
Yeah.
That's
and Mary
cool.
Mary was like the best owner. She like she'd have a meeting with all the comics beforehand and just like, this is what I want to see, this is what I don't want to see, this is what I'm looking for.
That's
it was,
so,
it was great. Very
that's so
refreshing.
Interesting to me because when I've been in other like smaller towns, they do that. But in Chicago, and I'm assuming places bigger than Chicago, it's like, here's the list, fucking be around when I call your name. Like, that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there's no meeting, there's no none of that. It's interesting to me. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just because when I went to I was in Indianapolis a while back doing this thing, and they had a big meeting, and I was there with Luke Newman, and
friend,
the guy,
friend of the podcast,
friend of the pod. He, the guy that we had talked to like send us there was like, yeah, guys, this is Justin and this is Luke. Like, meet him, network with him, blah blah blah, whatever. And I was like, that just doesn't even happen at all in Chicago.
Yeah. Chicago's just like,
well, what's
show up and
that joke
show
that,
up and go.
The joke that Snodgrass does when someone's new at Shuba's, so you give him a warm Chicago welcome and don't talk to him for six months.
Yeah.
Like, that's totally true. Like, you're just a guy. You're just the new kid in the cafeteria for the first fucking 6 months to a year.
Oh, yeah,
when
man.
You're here.
I got super lucky when I got here, but yeah.
Yeah, I remember talking to, I think it was Blake Burkhart when I was first starting, and because he started a little bit before me here, and he was like, yeah, well, part of the reason for that is so many people like do like one mic or two mics and then just call it quits. It's like, we want to know you're going to be
totally.
We, like, invest in big friends, you know?
Yeah,
totally.
So that adds to it. That's part of it.
Yeah, totally. Eventually you see someone enough, it's like, oh, I guess I'm going to have to acknowledge this person.
Yeah. Right.
They seem to be around. I'm going to have to talk to them.
Yeah. I hate bringing it up, but like, it's like that in the jujitsu classes I've been doing. Because I think a lot of people, like, they start doing it and then they literally, like, you know, they get tired of like having like dudes sit on them and shit. Mm-hmm. And they just stop. And like for the first like month I was there, like no one really talked to me and shit. But now it's like very slowly... And the same thing happened with comedy. It's like people just kind
of... I feel like I can see a lot of similarities between like the kind of person that would go, oh man, I bombed horribly. That felt bad. Or, oh man, that guy really kicked my ass today. That felt bad. I'm not going to do that again.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's a similar type of person.
Yeah, it's like the same kind of... Yeah, I mean, like, anything with a high turnover.
Bombing extremely hard and getting your ass kicked... I haven't got my ass kicked like a lot in my life, but I feel like they feel kind of similar. Like, oh, I could not do that again if I wanted.
Yeah, one hurts the body, one hurts the heart. Like,
my heart's been taking a pounding.
Yeah, dude, that feeling though when you bomb, man. Like initially, like especially when you
also
don't have
all the bacon. But
like, it is such a gift. Like bombing is so much easier when you're able to walk off stage and go to your friends and be like, oof.
Yeah. Well, bombing, I've said this for a while. Bombing is a very freeing experience because you're just like, oh, I'm alive. I'm okay.
Yeah.
It sucks, but like
when
the
you get done,
first couple times you do it, you're like, oh, I'm still here.
No,
people are still making eye contact.
Yeah, right.
Like I can bomb extremely hard and then still walk in the next room and be like, hey, can I get a beer? Like, they're still going to serve you. They're not going to be like, no, you need to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But I've definitely had a self-imposed, like, I need to get the fuck out of here.
Many times. Yeah,
it's the best also, like, when you start making, like, you know, like, comedy friends have been doing it longer than you, and then you bomb in front of them, and you're kind of nervous walking back to them, and they're like, eh, you know, like, it's like, oh, this happens. This is part of this.
Yeah, it is nice to be like, fuck them.
Yeah, and then what's crazy is then, like, next time you have, like, a job where you have to do, like, icebreakers and shit, I always laugh. Like, I started my job, and they're like, go around the room, and everyone's like, oh, shit. And I'm just like, yo, this is easy compared to, like, trying to do comedy.
Absolutely. That's why, because that's one funny thing about being, like, friends with, like, a bunch of engineers from college and all that, is every time one of them gets married, I'm best man because I'm the only one they trust with a microphone.
Yeah.
He can speak.
Because everyone else there is like, I don't know if I can speak in front of people. I'm like, it's just like this dude's family. Like, no one cares.
Yeah, I have very little fear of public speaking
after
doing comedy for a while. Like, most people, you know, or whatever the trope is, like, public speaking is like the second biggest, number one fear or number two fear
number
or something.
One fear, that's a sign for the show.
Yeah.
But I think they're imagining a worst case scenario that doesn't even exist.
The social rejection.
Worst case scenario is like it's bad.
It's like after you live through enough worst case scenarios of public speaking, you're like, oh, it doesn't get that bad.
Right.
Yeah.
This could only go so poorly.
Right. Yeah. Some nights it does though. It's so poorly.
Sure.
Yeah.
But it's it's easier each time.
Yeah, I'm super grateful for them now. You know, it's like just. Because even, like, last night I did the Drode show, like, Hobart Thompson's show, and it honestly was just me and his, like, improv group. That was, like, the show. You know, but, like, having, like, bombs so many
did
times.
Did you open up?
Yeah, I did 10 minutes in front of them, and it was like, well, I'm not bombing. There, you know, this is like, you know, this could be way worse. Let me just like pretend, like have fun, you know.
I thought you were saying the lineup was just you and his improv group.
Oh no,
no. Everyone in the room,
right?
It was me and his.
It was me. It was me. One other comic who I think had just started, and then them, and but it was like fun because it was just like, you know, no stakes, and I'm not bombing. Like, bombing is way worse than this. Like, it sets you up to be ready for any situation, you know.
Bombing is a state of mind, man.
Yeah. Have you ever had it like go real south at like Zany's, Derek?
No, that room's pretty good most of the time. Yeah, that it's hard to really bomb in that room.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it, but it's very, very rare. No, that room's just so good usually. I mean, I've done like sometimes a late show Saturday you're doing for like 13 people,
uh-huh,
and they're like sleepy drunk, like you're, so you're not getting a lot. But I guess I've done this so long now, I don't consider that bombing. I'm just like, well, this wasn't, I wasn't, you're not going to kill office in this room. Yeah. So it's, they don't hate, like, I've never left stage and the audience been like, oh, like,
yeah.
The audience was like sleepy. I was like, then they were still sleepy when I left. So I was like, all right, that's.
Have you had anything that mattered that you fucked up? Because I was thinking about that the other day. I was like, even like all the worst like bombs I've ever had were like, oh, that was, you humiliated yourself. It was never like anything that mattered. Sure, I haven't had an opportunity with which I could fuck up yet. You know what
fair,
I mean?
Like, fair. Nothing big. I mean, but you think you're in that situation all the time. Like when I was starting out, there'd be like someone who books one of the more popular shows on the scene. Like, ah, I did poorly in front of them, but
that
happens all, and that still happens. But, yeah,
I've done that plenty of times.
Yeah, but other than that, that's like as high stakes as it gets. Still, I mean, I'm not putting that high stakes situation. Club shows are sort of high stakes, but again, those rooms, like a packed show, like it's so hard to do poorly because those audiences just really want to laugh.
You got your picture on the wall, man. How?
Yeah.
Still got you doing tryouts?
I feel like
you're fine.
If I'm like anything involving money, I'm like,
sure.
You could fuck this up. Like, people are here.
You still get
to
paid, though.
Yeah, no, that's true. A paying audience, I'd feel bad about.
See, it's like, if you bomb at an open mic, it's like, fuck
you
all.
You have to get their money back. That would suck.
Yeah, no, I would feel bad, like, if a paying audience and I did, like, either, like, did very poorly or, like, or did something where I brought it on myself where I, like, turned on the audience like we were talking about earlier. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, that was on me. I shouldn't have.
The fuck you say?
Then I would legitimately feel very bad about that, That was fun. You guys were there this weekend.
Dude,
I'm super grateful for that, man. That was
You can get into the late show on Saturday any weekend.
Perfect.
Just tell them you're a comic. But it was just great to get to watch Mark Norman for like 5 days straight. Like,
yeah,
that was just,
I can't
just getting
imagine.
To watch him alone was awesome.
Yeah, I was. Were you there?
Did mix it up on material.
A little bit. There was one time where he was like, "You gonna do a new joke tonight?" I'm like, "He's like, yeah, I want to hear a new one. Do a new one." I was like, "Okay." So I like,
wow.
So I mix it up like at his request, but
that's awesome.
Usually I do a pretty similar set at least if I really want to.
That's
something
so
new,
funny,
man.
That
felt amazing.
Do a new one.
Well, but it felt amazing that he like,
like, what,
had
you
been paying
not?
Attention.
Yeah,
he was like, "I'll know if you do a new one, so do a new one."
Yeah,
anytime it. Like, they show me, like I, because I still get, I don't want to say starstruck, but a little bit starstruck. Because he's, like, so well-respected and so, like,
working with someone that you've seen.
Yeah,
like,
from NOLA. Represent.
Yeah, working with someone that you, like, I'm just, like, a fan of your work. And then, like, we're on the same bill for this week. That's fucking dope, man.
Yeah.
No, he was probably the coolest one I've worked with so far in terms of, like, who I'm an active fan of. That was just like that was when I saw it was the lineup for the week. It was awesome.
Pretty
stoked. Well, he's still like, how old is Mark Norman?
30-something.
Right? Yeah, he's in his like early mid 30s.
Okay, so yeah, he's still down to party. I feel like.
He parties the same way I prefer to party. I feel like, which is why we got along. Which is just like go to the ale house, have a few drinks, chill.
Yeah,
like, you know, like if it was like a. Like I was talking about crowded house party. Yeah, I don't think either one of
yeah,
those
yeah,
was
yeah.
comfortable.
I there's Drago's like party this Friday, and right when you got there, I left.
I know.
Because I was day drinking all day, and I was like, I gotta like this is, the lights are for some reason in this bar are super bright. I was like, I gotta get the fuck out of here. I was like, I'm gonna make myself look so stupid in front of too many people I know.
On Thursday. Did he ask you about like spots to hit up or anything like
that? Yeah.
Like,
on Thursday, at one point Thursday, because there were two shows Thursday, and he had the 7 o'clock. It was Steve Rain was easy at 9, and so he was there like during like Steve said he was like, hey, are there any open mics still going on? And
dude,
so I told him about Blinderstone was probably still going on, and then there was like Beer Belly and this one on Montrose that just start like later. And I told him, I was like, yeah, those are good. He's like, are they good? I'm like, yeah, they're fine. They're bikes, you know? And he was like, okay, maybe. And then he ended up not going. But yeah, man, he definitely asked about
them. Tim texted me on Thursday because I've been hosting at Blarney. And Tim texted me, like, you guys still going? Like, Norman's looking for a mic. And I was like, oh, God, please come. It was a good night, too. Yeah, like, it was
how
full.
Late you end up going?
Probably like 11:30.
Oh, yeah,
yeah. Last comic went over like 11:30.
Yeah, we yeah, he would have been able
to. And I was like, oh, I was so stoked. I was like, please, please let this guy come to this fucking
favorite,
mic.
That would be so
actually,
cool.
My favorite maybe moment of interacting was that same night when he left, because he left like, you know, three quarters of the way through Randa's easy set, and he goes, hey, can you just tell Steve I got like a weird message and had to leave? and I was like, yeah, I guess. Yeah, that's fine. And he left, and I'm just like, he's not going to care. Randa's easy. He's not going to care.
He's not
like,
asking. Where'd he go?
Yeah, no. I'm like, yeah, it's not a big deal. Like,
did he even ask?
No, of course not. Yeah, I was like, yeah, I'll lie for you, but I don't think that's going to be necessary.
How'd he do?
Oh, great. He crushed. I mean, really?
I feel like would that one get you any...
He's
be more
a good
like,
storyteller. He, yeah. Like, the styles of the two are so different because, you know, Mark Norman's very joke. And,
yeah.
And Steve's more of a... Yeah, he's a storyteller.
I would be more starstruck. I'm a bigger fan of Mark Norman's work, but I would be more starstruck, like hanging out with Steve Rinazzisi.
Well, he's
like,
yeah,
be like,
Steve's
this guy's on
fucking
too. Good.
Yeah,
and, like I've seen the league.
Well, yeah, I
like,
knew him.
This guy's on a sitcom I've watched.
I didn't like. I got in the league before I started like getting really into comedy.
Right.
Because
yeah,
I didn't get into
comedy
until
that's,
like later.
That's
on.
The one. The reason
it's
my little brother, came up to go to one of the shows, and he that was why, because he was a big fan of the league.
Yeah, totally. That's what I'm saying. Like that's like a mainstream. Like, oh, this guy's like famous.
Yes.
Mark Norman's like comedy famous. Like
exactly.
A bunch of open micers are like creaming their pants to see him, but like he's not like he.
Yeah,
go
sure.
Shopping. I feel like Steve Rinazzisi is getting recognized on the street. Like
absolutely.
He's famous.
I agree with that though, because I would rather hear Mark Norman stand up.
Yeah.
Oh, totally. I didn't see Rinazzisi while he was in town.
Yeah.
I saw Mark Norman.
Yeah. I just
a bigger fan of Mark Norman.
No,
there's always that weird feeling of like familiarity, but also like because it's like you've seen their face so much, and then just seeing him in the flesh. Like I was telling Derek, like I'll never forget, like. He was like, they were getting ready to call him on, and he like was doing his like little pre-show, like you know, about to go up. He like sat down in a chair and just started like licking the air and like just doing super animated shit. I'm just gonna have that in my head forever. Where it was like, my God, he is exactly who I thought he was.
Like that was Derek was doing that.
Oh yeah, no, Derek. You don't want to know what Derek did, dude.
I will never forget.
Can't see Derek licking the air.
Yeah, it is weird
to stare at my Fitbit for
especially someone like that who he has like a weekly podcast that's like. Just conversational like storytelling.
Yeah.
So you I don't know, you see him and you're like, you have no obviously you have no idea who I am, but I know you personally.
Right, yeah.
You've right. told me a lot of stories.
Yeah.
So it is weird.
Yeah, yeah. Man, what a
well, no, he dude, fucking met, killed me.
Like,
he blew it up.
I met Coolio and I thought that was the coolest shit I ever. Like Coolio was at a like a
dude,
shitty bar where
I used
grew
to
up,
like, I yeah, I get starstruck around like
them.
Anybody, man. Whenever I was in high school and played in a band, we would get to open for these other like indie like small label like metal bands that would come through Evansville, and when I would see him I'd be like, oh God, don't go talk to them, do not. And in hindsight it's like that was some like 25 year old guy who was in some shitty band who making like a 7-day per diem or whatever, sleeping in a van with his buddies. Like I don't know why I was like could not talk to them.
Oh, yeah.
But I get that way with anyone.
Same. Like, and even like in college, even my freshman year, and I remember meeting like one of the volleyball players from our volleyball team and just being like, oh, you're amazing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He was one of the best players on the team, and I just still got so I'm like, ah. Like, that's just, yeah. It's
just
if you
meeting,
have any level of public like success.
Meaning
like,
anyone who's done anything notable, I'm like, God, I couldn't imagine speaking to you.
Yeah.
That is one skill, actually, that I think I've developed, like, most through doing like all the zany stuff is
totally.
I know how to be cool around like people. I'm starstruck. I know how
like this person's
like,
done
I'm
shit,
cool,
but act
man.
Like you've been there before.
Yeah, I'm yeah. Like with Mark, I was very hey, how's it going? Even though like my insides were like ah.
Yeah, because you gotta be freaking out, but you gotta also be like, hey, I'm also at work right now. Like,
yeah,
I'm also being paid. I'm supposed to be here.
Yeah, yeah. You,
this
you
is my job.
Yeah.
I met Hannibal at a mic once, and I regret it because like I just stared at him. Like, he was like as close as like Justin and I are right now, and Matt Kennedy was there. Me and Matt Kennedy, or no, it was like Brennan Kiefer. Me and Brennan Kiefer just smoked, and then he showed up. And you know Michael Alexander,
mm-hmm.
he like was talking to Hannibal, telling him where to go, and I was just sitting there, just like stone, just like mouth open, just staring at Hannibal.
Played
and
it cool.
I was like, I just remember him looking at me and be like, what the fuck is this? Like, I could tell. He was like, what the fuck is this kid looking at?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I was like, oh, you stupid bitch.
Been on TV, man.
Just, if he ever sees me again, he'll probably remember my fucking weird ass face. Yeah. Just looking
hey,
at
you
him.
You made an impression.
That was like that's one of my stuff. My first showbiz thoughts I ever had was like, you know, the first time I saw Hannibal at Kohl's because he's there a fair amount, I was like, you know, starstruck. But then after like a couple times, you'd see him and you'd be like, oh, fuck, I'm going up later now. Like, yeah. Not excited yeah, to yeah. see him at all. Like,
damn it, this guy's going to do 20 minutes.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
He once dropped in and did a guest set when I was at Zany's. And there was this girl there that I was kind of seeing. And like I was like, ah, Hannibal's here. Let's go. And like she was there. The show went great. It was all, and then it like didn't end up working out. And then it was like, that's the most depressed. I'm like, this is all I have. Like if I could, if she was in like the perfect situation and saw me in the perfect, and that didn't work out. I'm like, oh, man.
This is as
this
good
is
as it gets.
This is never gonna work with anybody.
I thought you were like, yeah, like we showed him. I told her, like Hannibal's doing a guest spot, and then Hannibal left with my
that's
girl.
Right, that's right.
Oh,
go
that would
too.
No. I would have respected that. I've been like, oh yeah, fair. Fair enough.
Hannibal actually yelled at of my course. Friend one time. You guys met Martin, right?
Yeah.
My
fuck
friend
yeah, man,
who
Martin.
Was in England, he was at he was with Willie. He was with Willie at Kohl's. Willie dragged him one time, and he was talking to some girl, and she was like, "Oh my God, Hannibal's here!" And like Hannibal walked in, she's like, "He's like, do you want to like?" He didn't know who Hannibal was because he's from England. And I guess he.
Oh my! Just, no, I thought you met Willie. I was like,
no. My friend Martin, and he went up to him. And he's like, "Hey, my." Friend, she really wants to talk to you, and like she saw you walking, she's too scared. And Hannibal goes, "You're talking at me, man, not with me." And ooh. He was just like, ooh. "All right, cool," and just like walked away.
That's hilarious.
My coworker's friend went on a Bumble date with Hannibal.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. At Stella's, I don't know. It's a Western and it's a little dive bar. There's an open mic there years ago, but yeah, there was a
On Irving Park.
No. Western and Walton. I think you're thinking of Estelle's, maybe.
Oh no, actually, the Stella's I'm Sylvie's. Thinking of.
Are you thinking?
Estelle's. That is what Sylvie's I'm thinking of. Stella's, okay, yeah. The one I'm thinking of is on Broadway, actually.
Okay.
Estelle's is at Six Quarters there. That's also right. A dope place.
That's right. Yep.
That's crazy.
Estelle's is a cool bar.
Well, he lives in Chicago, doesn't he?
Yeah. I think he owns a building in Wicker Park.
Yeah. Dude, ooh. Imagine if Hannibal was your landlord.
Yeah.
That'd be fucking awesome.
Say, fucking, my landlord was the co-host of the Eric Andre show.
Dude, I would get a bunch of lizards.
I fucking love that show.
I'd get a bunch of lizards and keep pickle juice in my apartment.
People what? Stole his stuff?
Oh, well. On that note, guys.
Fuck Airbnb.
Derek, you got anything big coming up? I mean, anything. I mean, I feel like a douche.
You want to tell the dreamers?
Hey, only the big things.
No, tell the dreamers only the big stuff.
After this, I'm going to a open mic that I now produce.
Whoa.
Technically. Nice. I think it's supposed to be an open mic show / hybrid. It's been going for like 4 weeks, but this will be my first time there. Hidden Shamrock called Def Leppard.
Oh, nice.
Tuesdays
with David Rader?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
I did that a
Bill
few
Gewirtz.
Weeks ago.
Yeah. Now, how is it?
I started drinking at like 3 that day.
Perfect.
How many?
All right.
How many?
Things aren't going good, yeah, Justin. Don't fucking ask me questions.
We had a few stories that
man.
Started with, I was drinking all day, man.
Yeah. Instead of asking how many, how about you start asking how are you?
How many? How
no,
many are
like,
you?
There's like a group of like 7 of us that are technically producing it.
You say 7?
Something like that, yeah.
So you just like tag each other.
We just show
so
up and like
take
turns hosting. Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's good,
that's
yeah.
I think that's all what producing means for this.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Nice.
Yeah. But it's, Tuesdays at Hidden Shamrock at 8, and then we got some shows like on the road, but nothing huge coming up.
You can see Derek at Zany's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm there. If you want to come to the holiday party, come to the Zany's holiday party. I think you got to get an invite, but I'll see you there.
You can wait outside and drive me home.
Well, cool, man. Thanks for coming on, Derek. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, hell yeah. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. All right. Dream on, dreamers. Keep dreaming.
Keep dreaming.
Keep on dreaming.